All right, so imagine this, okay? You're pregnant, you've got a job, you're on your feet all day, lifting heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And your doctor's like, whoa, time to take it easy, cut back on the heavy lifting.
Uh-huh.
You ask your employer for a temporary change, you know, something they already do for other employees.
Right.
Makes sense, right? Totally reasonable. Well, that's exactly what Peggy Young was dealing with back in 2006, working for UPS. And her case, Young v. United Parcel Service. This thing went all the way to the Supreme Court.
We're diving deep today. Pregnancy discrimination. How accommodations actually work in the workplace.
It's, you know, it's interesting because the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, the PDA, seems pretty straightforward. At first glance, it's supposed to protect pregnant workers from discrimination. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
But then you get a case like this and things get, well, complicated.
Oh, absolutely. And Peggy Young, she was a UPS driver. That's a tough job. Lots of heavy lifting.
Yeah. We're talking packages up to 70 pounds, sometimes even more. So she gets pregnant. Her doctor's like, okay, no lifting over 20 pounds. And eventually even that gets lowered to just 10 pounds. As her pregnancy progresses, so she asks UPS for some adjustments, you know, temporary. Like they do for other employees. They've got systems in place for employees who get hurt on the job.
Right, right.
Those with disabilities,
yeah,
covered under the ADA, even those who lose their DOT certifications for driving.
Uh-huh.
But UPS, they deny her request.
And that's where this whole legal fight kicks off. UPS, they argued their policy was pregnancy blind, meaning they didn't treat pregnant workers any differently. Everyone was treated the same, couldn't meet the physical demands, no accommodations, no matter the reason.
Okay.
And believe it or not, the lower courts, they sided with UPS at first, focusing on this, you know, neutral policy.
Right, because on the surface, it seems like, hey, treat everyone equally. But that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court, they disagreed big time. They saw something more going on here.
They did. The majority opinion, written by Justice Breyer, it really dives into what equal treatment really means. In a situation like this, they brought in this modified burden-shifting framework for these PDA cases.
Now, hold on. Burden-shifting. Break that down for me.
Oh, sure. Sure. Imagine it like building a case. Okay. Brick by brick. First, the employee, in this case, Peggy Young, they got to lay the foundation.
Yep.
They have to show they were pregnant, they asked for accommodation, were denied. And here's the kicker, that the employer, they were providing those same accommodations to other employees who were, quote, similar in their ability to work.
Right.
So we talked about those other UPS workers, right? Injured, disabilities, lost certifications, they all had lifting restrictions too.
So UPS is accommodating people whose situations in a lot of ways look very similar to Peggy's. They just weren't accommodating Peggy because she was pregnant. I mean, yeah, it seems a little fishy, right?
Right. Now, the burden, it shifts over to the employer. They got to add their own bricks to this case.
Okay.
They have to give clear, non-discriminatory reasons for why they refuse that accommodation. And this is important. Anyone out there dealing with these types of cases, the court, they made it crystal clear. Just saying it's too expensive or too inconvenient, not enough. Employers need a solid reason.
It can't just be like, well, that's our policy, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to show why that policy is so essential it can't be adjusted even for a pregnant employee.
You got it. Now, the employee, they get one last chance. Solidify their argument. They're going to try and prove the employer's reasons are, well, basically a smokescreen, what we call pretextual.
Okay.
Legally speaking, how do they do that? They prove that policy, it puts a much bigger burden on pregnant workers than it does on those other groups.
So Peggy would have to show that this neutral policy, actually, it negatively impacts pregnant workers more than the other groups UPS was already accommodating.
Exactly.
And based on what UPS was already doing, you know, like they were okay giving lighter duty to someone who got injured outside of work. So accommodating a pregnant worker doesn't seem like that big of a leap from what they were already doing.
You're picking up on exactly what the court was getting at. While that UPS policy seemed neutral on its face, it created a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Was it unfairly burdening pregnant employees compared to those similar in their ability to work? That's the key.
Okay, so we've got this back and forth, right? Employee lays out their case, employer responds, employee gets a final rebuttal.
Right.
But what was the Supreme Court's actual decision? In Peggy Young's case, did she win?
Well, it's not that simple. The Supreme Court, they didn't say definitively whether UPS had discriminated against Peggy Young or not. They sent the case back down to a lower court to be looked at again using this new framework.
So no knockout punch either way. Supreme Court basically said, Here's a clearer set of rules. Now go back and figure it out.
That's a great way to put it. The Supreme Court, they gave those lower courts a more refined lens to view the case through. It wasn't over yet.
This is getting good. We've got the background, the legal arguments, this whole burden shifting thing. But I understand there was also a dissenting opinion.
Right.
What were the other justices worried about?
You're right. There was a dissenting opinion. It's always important to look at all sides. Justice Scalia, he led the dissent, and he argued that the majority, they were mixing things up between different types of discrimination. He was firm that UPS's policy, it was neutral, didn't specifically target pregnant workers.
So Scalia's concern was this new standard, it can make it too easy to claim discrimination, even when a policy wasn't intended to, you know, hurt a particular group.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. He felt like putting so much weight on the impact of a policy instead of the intent, well, it could lead to more lawsuits, make it tougher for companies to have, you know, clear policies.
Hmm. Interesting. So does this new standard make things too vague for employers? I mean, could it lead to like a legal free-for-all? What do you think?
Ah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Legal scholars, they're still debating this one, this significant burden standard. It can be a powerful tool. It can protect pregnant workers from policies that, you know, they seem neutral on the surface, but they actually have a negative impact.
Right.
But it does bring in this element of, well, subjectivity. Figuring out what exactly is a significant burden, that can be tricky. And it could create some uncertainty for employers.
It's a bit like trying to define reasonable,
yeah,
right? It's open to interpretation, depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Finding that balance,
yeah,
between protecting employees and giving clear guidelines to employers. That's the tough part.
It's a real balancing act. Fairness for pregnant workers, clear guidelines for employers. This case, it really puts a spotlight on that.
Okay, so let's talk about the practical side of this ruling. How did it actually change things for employers and for lawyers who, you know, specialize in these kinds of cases?
Mm. Well, for employers, it was a big wake-up call. They had to take a good, hard look at their policies, you know, see if there was any unintentional bias against pregnant workers.
Mm.
Those blanket exclusions just saying no across the board are no longer acceptable.
Right.
They had to be able to back up their policies, prove that they weren't putting this significant burden on pregnant workers.
So it's not just about, like, avoiding outright discrimination. It's also about, okay, we have this policy, but does it actually impact pregnant workers differently? Even if it doesn't seem like it should.
Exactly. And for lawyers, you know, the ones who handle these types of cases, the significant burden argument, it became like their secret weapon. Yep. It gave them a way to challenge policies that maybe they looked okay on paper, but in reality, they created obstacles for pregnant employees. They could use statistics. They could use personal stories, you know, comparisons to other groups that were being accommodated. And one really interesting thing that came out of all of this, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they came out with new guidance on pregnancy discrimination, clarifying what employers are actually responsible for under the PDA.
So lawyers got a new tool, and employers, they had to step up their game if they wanted their policies to, you know, hold up in court.
Yeah.
Big shift in the legal world, huh?
Absolutely. And there's another twist to the story. Remember how the Supreme Court sent the case back down to the lower courts?
Yeah.
Well, before it could go back to trial, UPS, they settled with Peggy Young.
Wow. So even though there wasn't a clear victory at the Supreme Court level, that decision, it carried enough weight to bring UPS to the negotiating table.
Exactly. It just shows how much impact this decision had. Even without a final win in court, it changed the legal playing field, gave pregnant workers more power when it comes to fighting for their rights. But, you know, this case, it's bigger than just the legal stuff. It raises some big questions about how we as a society view pregnancy and working mothers.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's like this case, it exposes these deep-seated assumptions about women in the workplace. Like for so long, pregnancy was seen as this outlier, you know, something that just didn't fit into the traditional idea of what a worker was.
Like an inconvenience almost.
Yeah, like messing up the flow of productivity.
Right.
And this case, it challenges that outdated view. It's saying, okay, pregnancy, yeah, it's unique, but it's a normal part of life. And employers, they got to adjust to that reality. It's not about giving pregnant women special treatment.
Right.
It's about acknowledging their needs and finding ways to support them without, you know, penalizing them.
Right.
For going through this natural process.
I think you're right. It reflects this larger shift in society towards more acceptance, more support for working mothers. It's part of this bigger conversation we're having about work-life balance, parental leave, just creating a more inclusive work environment.
It's about recognizing that women can be both valuable employees and mothers.
Hmm.
It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Right.
And that shift, it's not just about being like nice to pregnant workers. It's about, you know, economic empowerment.
Right.
Gender equality. When women are forced out of the workforce because they don't have support during pregnancy, everyone loses out.
You're absolutely right. This case, it might seem like this very specific legal dispute,
mm.
but it's connected to all these bigger social and economic issues.
It's a glimpse into a bigger societal shift, this move toward inclusivity, recognizing that people have different roles in their lives. It's not just about Peggy Young and UPS. It's about building a workplace where everyone feels valued, supported, no matter what their family situation is or what stage of life they're in.
That's powerful. And it brings us back to what we do here on The Deep Dive. We take these, you know, complex legal cases, we break them down, we show you the human side of things and how these rulings actually affect the world we live in.
It's not just about the legal details. It's the big picture, the impact on society, the ripples that extend way beyond the courtroom.
Right.
And at Young v. UPS, those ripples, they're still spreading, pushing us toward a more inclusive, more equitable workplace for everyone. But here's what really stood out to me, this idea of similar in their ability to work.
Mm-hmm.
Could that apply to other situations where people need accommodations?
You've hit on a very crucial point. The ruling, it's about the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, but the logic, it could apply to other scenarios where employees need adjustments for medical reasons.
So like someone with a temporary disability,
mm-hmm.
could they use this case to argue for similar accommodations?
It's definitely possible. That key concept, similar in their ability to work. If an employee with a temporary disability can show that their employer accommodates others with, you know, comparable limitations, they might be able to use Young v. UPS to make their case stronger.
It almost sounds like this ruling could spark a whole wave of new cases.
Yeah.
Workers seeking accommodations for all sorts of medical conditions.
It's certainly a possibility. But we have to remember, every case is different. It has its own specific facts, its own circumstances. There's no guarantee that every employee who requests accommodations is going to, you know, automatically succeed.
Right. Context is everything.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't lead to a ton of new lawsuits, the impact of this decision, huge. It shifted the balance of power. Employees have more leverage when they ask for accommodations.
Yeah.
And employers, they have to be much more thoughtful about their policies.
Yeah.
This whole idea of similar in their ability to work, it feels like it could apply to so many things. What about age-related limitations or religious practices, things that might require some adjustments to, you know, how someone does their job?
You're bringing up some really important points. Young v. UPS, it sparked all these discussions about the bigger implications of accommodation law. Disability rights advocates, they've been drawing parallels between this case and the rights of people with disabilities under the ADA.
It makes sense. If you accommodate someone with a temporary injury, why not someone with a disability that requires, you know, similar adjustments?
Exactly. And the EEOC, they've even cited Young v. UPS in guidance related to religious accommodations. They're emphasizing that, hey, you got to treat people consistently when it comes to accommodations for similar situations.
So we're seeing this trend, this move toward a more holistic view of accommodations. It's not just about, you know, fitting people into neat little boxes. It's about recognizing that employees have individual needs and figuring out ways to support them while still meeting the needs of the business.
Absolutely. It's about moving away from those old assumptions about what a quote-unquote typical worker is and embracing the reality that people have different needs, responsibilities outside of work.
And recognizing that, hey, supporting those needs, it can actually benefit everybody, employees, employers, society as a whole.
Exactly. When people feel supported, they feel valued. They're going to be more engaged, more productive, more loyal.
This whole conversation, it's been really eye-opening. We started with Peggy Young's story at UPS, and now we're talking about this potential paradigm shift and how we approach accommodations in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's amazing how one case can trigger this chain reaction.
Mm.
Legal change, societal change.
It's the perfect example of why we do what we do here on The Deep Dive. We take these cases, sometimes they seem really complicated, and we break them down. We show you the human stories, the legal strategies, and what it all means for the bigger picture.
We're not just looking at the legal nitty-gritty. We're looking at the impact on society, the ripple effects that go way beyond the courtroom. And with Young v. UPS, those ripples are still expanding, pushing us toward a more inclusive workplace, more equitable for everyone. But this whole idea of similar in their ability to work, That's what's really stuck with me. If this is expanding beyond pregnancy, where else could it go? I mean, it feels like we're on the edge of something big here, a whole new way of thinking about how accommodations work. It's like, are we moving away from these rigid categories, looking at the bigger picture? Individual needs, what people are actually capable of.
I think you're onto something. We could see cases in the future, you know, exploring this.
Mm-hmm.
Does it apply to, say, caregiver responsibilities, elder care? What about someone who needs to, like, change their schedule for a bit because of a family emergency?
Right. It makes you think, are we headed toward this model where it's not so much about why you need the accommodation? It's more about, is the accommodation possible? Can you still do your job, essentially?
That's a really interesting thought. It would be a big change, but it fits with this idea of, you know, making the workplace more inclusive, more adaptable.
And that takes a change in mindset, right? Not just from employers, but like from society in general.
Oh, absolutely. We'd have to move away from these old ideas
about
what a quote-unquote typical worker is and accept that, hey, people have different needs, responsibilities outside of work.
And that supporting those needs, it's not just the right thing to do. It actually makes sense for everyone.
Exactly.
Employees are happier, more productive. Employers benefit. Society benefits.
For sure.
This whole conversation has been, wow, just really eye-opening. We started with Peggy Young, her situation at UPS, and now we're talking about this potential, like, fundamental shift in how we think about accommodations. It just goes to show one case can have a huge impact.
Yeah, it's incredible, right? It's like a domino effect.
Yep.
Legal changes, societal changes.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here, right? That's the deep dive.
Yeah.
We take these legal battles. They can seem so complex. We break them down. The human stories, the strategies, what it all means for everyone.
Exactly.
It's not about getting lost in the legal weeds. It's about seeing the bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
how these cases affect all of us. And Young v. UPS, wow, talk about a ripple effect that's still going.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for everyone listening, we always like to leave you with something to think about, a question to, you know, keep exploring. So here it is. If this trend, this move toward a more individual, more holistic approach to accommodations, if it keeps going, what's it going to mean? What are the challenges? What are the opportunities for employers, for employees, for all of us?
That's a great question to leave us with, something we all need to be thinking about.
That's all the time we have for today. Keep those questions in mind. Stay curious. And join us next time for another deep dive into the world where law and society, well, they collide.